It's wonderful to be back here again. It's like coming home to be all with all of you. Really nice. Yeah. Been doing all the things I said I would do, watching my granddaughter, traveling, spending time with my husband, and visiting family. But it's wonderful to be invited back today to preach, although I think that these two characters over here wanted me to preach on this reading because it's such a difficult one. So I think they said, let's give her that one. Davis, Craig, of course, got me back on Facebook. I haven't been on Facebook for either. I stopped that for a while, but I went back on this weekend, and my brother, who I've told you before has early Alzheimer's, is often on Facebook every day, and sure enough, he had a post there, and he said that my kids are giving me such a hard time about my memory. He said, but they're going to be really sorry when they wake up on Christmas morning and they don't have any eggs in their baskets. I love my brother so much, and right now he's teaching me a lot about what it means to go through and face such a difficult illness. And I've also been doing one ministry still at Spiritus Christi. I've been working with Lynn Heatley with a group on Wednesday mornings. It's called Overcoming Chronic Illness. And it's just a very powerful group of people, all of whom are facing either a terminal or a difficult, debilitating illness. And so we talk a lot about perseverance. We're going through a book that was written by a researcher who studied all the people who have beat the odds. So when you go into the doctor and they say you have a 2 out of 100 chance of surviving this illness, this researcher went around and interviewed all of those 2 out of 100, 3 out of 100 people to find out what they did differently that helped them to survive beyond traditional medical care. And they came up with 9 things that were in common. And so each week we study one of these 9 things, and they include things that you might guess, like changing your diet, exercising. But they also include things like being close to other people, spending time in nature, thinking positive thoughts, all of these things which we're now discovering actually have an impact on your body chemistry and on changing your immune system. So it's really been an interesting group to be in, and I just love what I'm learning there. And I especially love what I'm learning about perseverance, which is the hopeful part of today's reading. And this is a tough reading. Jesus paints a very violent picture of the world and says how there will be natural disasters of earthquakes and famines and plagues, and that how nations will go to war and nations will turn against nations. And yet it's not that unfamiliar to us. We're also living in times when these kinds of things are happening. So it's kind of hopeful when you actually get to the bottom of the reading, where the good line comes. And Jesus says, through all of this, and even some of you will die and some of you will be betrayed by family members, but he says, but not a hair on your head will be destroyed, and by your perseverance, you will secure your lives, by your perseverance. So perseverance is an important lesson that Jesus has for us, for our spirituality, for our lives, for how to be with one another. And so I think it's helpful today to just think about what does that mean, to persevere, and what helps us to persevere. Well, one of the things that helps us is just to be ready for hardship in our lives. And the truth is that we all have hardship in our lives. Nobody really skates by without some difficult things. And you may be having some hardship in your life right now, or you may have already experienced in the past. It could be you had a financial crisis, or a difficult relationship, or the loss of someone that you love dearly, or perhaps you had overcome addiction, or had someone in your life that you were struggling with something. These are all the kinds of hardships that we're facing. For some people in the world, they're facing hunger and war and terrible violence. So to be ready for hardship in our lives, to know that it will happen. I think sometimes television and the movies, they give us a different picture of that. We see movie stars and famous people, and they all look beautiful. They have lots of money. They do amazing things, and they go in ball gowns to get their Oscar and all these kinds of things. And it's easy to think, well, those people didn't have any trouble. But yet it's always interesting to me to read about their lives and realize the hardships that they also endure. For example, J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter series, was so poor when she wrote her first Harry Potter book that she couldn't afford to photocopy the novel to send to publishers. 90,000 pages. So she hand-typed every publication that she sent out, and she sent to dozens of publishers, hand-typed it. Finally, a small publisher took it on because the CEO's 8-year-old daughter fell in love with it. That's the only reason she got published. Or you might think of Jim Carrey, very funny comedian, movie star. He grew up so poor that his family lived in a van on a relative's lawn. When he was 10 years old, he sent a comedy routine to the Carol Burnett Show because he wanted to help bring some money into his family. One night, as he was working towards being a comedian and not having any success, he wrote himself a check for $10 million. And he put in the memo, acting services rendered. And he predated it Thanksgiving 1995, which he hoped on that day he would be able to cash it. Actually, the week before that date, he got his first paycheck from Dumb and Dumber, the movie Dumb and Dumber. Oprah Winfrey, a woman we're all familiar with, was subjected to terrible sexual abuse as a child. She became pregnant at age 14, but the child died after just 2 weeks. But she persevered. She became an honors student, earned a full scholarship to college, and worked her way up in television from a small station in Nashville to the owner of her own network. Everybody faces hardships in their lives. And Jesus tells us in the gospel today that the disciples will also face many hardships. But we know that even beyond Jesus' disciples, many other disciples of the faith have faced hardships. Martin Luther King, Malala, Franklin Roosevelt, Corrie Ten Boom, many, many people have faced hardships. Another thing that prepares us to persevere is to be aware of the purpose and meaning of our lives. The disciples are filled with passion to share Jesus' message. So they're willing to go out and take these risks because it means so much to them. The philosopher Nietzsche said, "With a great enough why, I can do almost any what." If we know why we're doing it, we can do what we need to do. And we know this is true because we ourselves have done things beyond what we thought we were capable of because of how important it was to us. If you love children, you do anything to protect them, anything at all. If your sister has breast cancer, you spend time marching in the breast cancer parade. If you have empathy for refugees, you welcome them into this country. If you yourself have suffered discrimination, you speak out against racism. If you fall in love with the environment, you adjust your lifestyle to protect it. And if you believe deeply in God's presence, you make the time to listen to her words to you. When we persevere, we have to learn to deal with rejection. On the radio yesterday, I heard Reese Witherspoon talking. She's a famous actress. They asked her about her Oscar, and they said, "After you got that Oscar, did you get lots of parts?" And she said, "No." She said, "There aren't a lot of parts written for a woman my age." And she said, "It's not like there's a vault in a cave somewhere where all these scripts are just waiting for us." She said, "So yeah, I had to wait again until I was able to get a part." She said, "When I was younger, I didn't get any parts, and I had to learn to live with rejection." She said, "You go out, actors and actresses go out, they audition for a part, and they get a no, and then another no, and another no, and it's no, 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 no." She said, "And then finally, I got a yes. And when I got a yes, I put my whole self into that little part. I practiced it day and night. I thought about it day and night, did everything I could for that part. And when it was over, I got more no's. No, 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 until I got another part. And then I put everything into that part. All of us experience rejection. Michael Jordan didn't make the high school basketball team when he was in high school. Winston Churchill was called forgetful, careless, irregular in every way, and will never conquer his slavishness by his headmaster. Bill Gates, his first business failed. Albert Einstein didn't speak until he was 4 years old and was considered slow. Really? Jay-Z couldn't get a record label to sign him on. And Vincent van Gogh sold only one painting in his entire lifetime. But to be wronged is nothing unless we insist upon remembering it. To be wronged is nothing unless we insist upon remembering it. And there is certainly a part of it that likes to remember it. We just really like to go over and over how somebody hurt us, our feelings, or how we didn't deserve that, or how we were fired from a job, and we just go over and over and over it. We feel terrible, and you know what? Everybody else feels fine. They're doing great. We're the ones that are making ourselves suffer. So these are Anthony DeMello's words, and I think they're great words. To be wronged is nothing unless we insist upon remembering it. Those of us who are able to persevere know that we're not alone in the mission we have in life. We know that God is with us, that God is guiding us, that our strength doesn't have to come just from us, that our wisdom doesn't have to be our own wisdom, that there's a much bigger source for that than just ourselves. Harriet Tubman has always inspired me, and I understand there's a movie out about her right now, which I can't wait to see, called Harriet. But she was an amazing woman. She was an enslaved person. And when she was close to 30 years old, her niece was about to be sold from a slave owner to a new slave owner. And that was a turning point from her, and she decided at that point that she would leave that life of being a slave. And she did. She escaped to freedom. But then she missed the people that she loved. So she kept going back to help them to escape, person after person, trip after trip. She never lost a single person that she helped to escape from slavery. She was a devout follower of Christ, and when she finally had a biographer write her story, she told him that in her entire life, she said, "I prayed all the time. I prayed every day and every moment and every night and every hour. I prayed about my work. I was always talking to God. When I went to the horse trough to wash my face, I talked to God. When I took up a towel to clean the feet of someone with me, I talked to God. When I took up a broom and began to sweep, I asked the Lord to be with me." The Lord was always with her, and she knew it, and that gave her strength. A few years ago, a woman told me after a difficult relationship that it felt like God was driving a tractor across her heart with a plow. Sometimes life is that difficult. It is heart-wrenching. And yet, in those most difficult times, they prepare us to receive God's word. When we get down on our knees and say with our whole heart, "God, I cannot do this by myself. I need your help. I need you to be with me." And all of a sudden, many of the inhibitions we have are gone because we really need God. Our heart is broken, and it becomes an entry point for God to work with us. Sometimes the work that we are doing is much bigger than what we realize. Joe Torre was the New York Yankees manager for many years. He was quite successful at being a manager of the New York Yankees. Became very famous. And so he was used to people approaching him for an autograph. And at one point he was walking through the hall and a man came up to him and he got his pen out ready to sign it. But the man just said, "You know, I just want to tell you something. I was in high school and I wanted to drop out. My parents asked you to talk to me one day because they thought that I might listen to a ball player. They were right. I'm a lawyer now, and I just wanted you to know. He walked a few more steps, and another man came up to him. This man said, 20 years ago, I had cancer. They thought I was terminal. You were with the Mets. You came to see me, and you gave me a pep talk. I never forgot it. I realized that I had never told you thank you, and I wanted you to know that I'm still alive. Joe Torre said later, I thought my life was about baseball, but I realize now it was much more than that. God was using me in a much bigger way. When we persevere, we do what St. Paul asks us to do, which is to run the race. It says in Galatians, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. Last week we celebrated our ministry in Haiti, and I always admire and think of Dr. Tony Voltaire, who runs our hospital there in Haiti. He came when he was a young man and has stayed in very difficult circumstances. A few years ago, he was telling a small group of us about the schedule of his work in Haiti. He said he gets up around 5 a.m. in the morning, he works through the day and through the evening, and sometimes goes to bed at midnight or 1 a.m. in the morning. Somebody in our group asked him, well, Dr. Tony, don't you get tired? And he said, if I get tired, people may die. So I don't allow myself to get tired. It was the first time I ever thought of getting tired as a choice. I thought being tired was just something that happened to me, not really anything I could do about it. But if we think about it, we do make a choice, right? We all have had experiences, perhaps staying up all night with a sick child or waiting for somebody who needed our help. And we don't think about being tired. We just think about what needs to be done or the person that needs our help. We choose not to be tired. We choose to run the race. Robert Fulghum, who's the man who wrote Everything I Wanted to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, I think many of us have read that article. He tells of his experience as the desk clerk in a resort motel. I related to that because my own son had that job, and I remember him complaining about how difficult it was. After a week of frustration, Fulghum went to his manager to have a tantrum about all the people and all their demands and how they want all these different things, and you can't please anybody, and it's just such a hard job. The manager listened for about 20 minutes, and then he said, listen, Fulghum, you think you know everything, but you don't know the difference between an inconvenience and a problem. If you break your neck, if you have nothing to eat, if your house is on fire, then you've got a problem. Everything else is an inconvenience. Life is inconvenience. Learn to separate inconveniences from problems, and you will live a lot longer. Sometimes we need to do that ourselves. Separate what's an inconvenience in life from what's really a big issue. A big issue is worth worrying about, planning for, talking with other people. An inconvenience, you just brush it off. You just keep going. Sometimes it's our expectations about life that get in the way of our endurance. We think, I don't deserve that, or I shouldn't have to be sick. Or it's not fair that I got fired, blah, 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 right? We can go on and on. Those are inconveniences. When my parents died in 2005, I really struggled with them both dying so close together. And I began going to a therapist every week. After about 4 weeks of that, I said, I really don't want to do this anymore. I don't like coming here. I don't want to be grieving anymore. So I told the therapist that I was done, I wouldn't be coming back. So he looked at me and he said, okay. I thought, okay, that was easy. I left, and the next week I came back. because I was still grieving. I couldn't just escape from that. I couldn't just decide that it wasn't an issue anymore. I had to go through the process of grieving for my parents. It was just part of what I had to do. Life has difficulties, and we don't always have a choice about going through it. It's part of what our burden is, but we do grow from it. The truth is, the happiness in our life and the peace that we feel does not depend on the experiences that we have, even the most difficult ones. Think about that for a moment. Think about some of the people that you know who are happy or you have heard about, and yet they have very difficult lives. Famous people like Anne Frank or Nelson Mandela, who was in prison for over 20 years, or Thich Nhat Hanh, the Buddhist monk who was exiled from Vietnam, or the Dalai Lama. These are all people who are known for their deep faith, their peacefulness, their happiness, and yet they have suffered terrible experiences. We persevere no matter what happens in our lives. We persevere because we have a purpose, a meaning in our lives, and God is bringing us through life, and each difficulty and each thing that we go through strengthens us, helps us to understand more fully who we're created to be. There's a beautiful prayer that Mother Teresa always kept on her home for children, and I have always found Mother Teresa to be very inspiring. So I love this prayer. I think we should all have it hanging on our wall somewhere. So I'd like to end with that. People are often unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you are kind, people might accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. What you spend years building, someone could destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today, people will often forget tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give the world the best you have anyway.